Well, we are in our third week of our series in Numbers. If hopefully you've been following along. If not, you can always go back to the podcast and listen. And today we're going to talk particularly about the journey. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, we give you thanks that you are our God and your presence is daily in our life. We pray, Lord, that through this you would challenge us, equip us to live the life that you've called us to live. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. Now, today we're going to start a little bit with this. We're going to start with this thing called a journey, in particular of getting ready for, think about this, vacation. Okay? By the way, and I'm going to ask the kids, okay? So kids, I got to ask you, when you go on a family vacation, would you say, how many people would say it is stressful in our house getting and preparing for family vacation? Okay? Look at all the big kids. Like all the guys are raising their hands. All right. That is so true in our house. Like it is so stressful getting ready and preparing and going for a vacation. In fact, we say that there are two really big things that happen when you're getting ready for vacation. The first one is getting ready for it and the actual going, the travel or flight or whatever that is, right? So a couple things we want to throw out, at least at this morning. Maybe it looks a little like that, of getting everything ready. How many of you are list people? Like you make lists. In fact, you make a list for the list to make sure you don't forget what's on the list, right? Yeah, point. Jeff, you're going to be in so much trouble by the end of the sermon, which we call that just a regular Sunday. Yeah. So in the midst of this, I'll tell you, Kristen's a list person. She has lists for everything. It starts about 2 weeks out. Maybe some of you are like that. Make sure you got everything. I Googled this. I said, helping us prepare or helping you prepare for a trip. And there was 42 million helpful suggestions and blogs and articles and things like that to help you prepare for your trip. I'd encourage you before you go to just sit down and read a million or two of those and just see if that helps reduce your stress. And I read three, and it was interesting to kind of hear how most people encourage you to get ready for a trip. One of the things talked about is make sure everything's taken care of at work, right? Which is stressful in its own thing. Like you spend 2 weeks to get ready to go for one, right? And in that, you're making sure that everyone knows where you're going to go. Everyone has the proper stuff. And you just kind of shut down work. Hopefully that you can just leave that behind, right? How many people are just, it's hard to leave work behind, right? It's hard to shut that stuff down. Yeah. And then there's the whole house stuff, right? Making sure that everyone, make sure the dog is taken care of and the cats are taken care of and writing notes for the people who are doing those kind of things. And on top of that, it's making sure that the fridge doesn't have too much food and it's just a big list getting ready to go. And it is absolutely stressful. In our house, the day before is the most stressful because it's bringing everything together, making sure the laundry is done and all the things, everyone's packed and all that stuff while I sleep and Kristen finishes all that stuff, right? And typically in our house, my wife, Kristen, she stays up pretty much the whole night, gets an hour or two of sleep, and then I drive and she sleeps. It's just our pattern. It's the way we work. How many people have a similar kind of a thing? Just us. Okay, a couple. Okay. That's just kind of how we get ready for trips and prepare. Well, in Numbers, the first 10 chapters of Numbers that we've kind of been started with a little bit, it really is one of those things that God is preparing them for this trip, this journey that they're about to take. And in this in particular, he's got four things he kind of does the first 10 chapters of Numbers. The first is he takes a census, which is basically saying who's coming on the trip with us, who's a part of the, who's going to go with us. And so they look at all the tribes and they count everyone. Okay, well, here's who that is. And then they talk about the roles. Okay, so if you're on this trip, here's your role. Here's what you play. And they talk about the Levites and the priests and all the different things and the roles. And then they talk about the rules of the trip. Okay, as we travel together, here's kind of way we live together. Started with Mount Sinai and gave the 10 rules, right? The commandments we know of. But there's rules on this trip. How many of you have rules on your trip? Anyone have one? How many of you know, like, there are unwritten rules that haven't been said, but you know those rules? Like, in our car, we know when we're traveling and we're driving, and whether it's hail or rain, but it's one of those stressful moments that you know that as a driver, right, and you're really focusing in that. Our kids know That is not the time where you scream. That's not the time where you go incredibly loud and you speak loud. You be quiet, right? Yeah, because someone in the car is a little bit on the irritant side, right? And so we have an unwritten rule that as we travel together, when it's stressful, you just remain quiet. Get your plugs in and do that. And if we forget, which happens every once in a while, there is the passenger that wakes up and says, "Dad needs to concentrate on the road. Everyone be quiet," right? And but Kristen does it with such love when she does it. That is a poor representation of Kristen. She's in Jamaica, and yeah, I'm being a little bold. She can't hear me this morning. So you got room. Yeah. Okay. So with that, that's what's happening in Numbers. Is they're getting ready for this trip and just preparing people to go. Now, one of the things we love to do in our house, and I mean we love to do this, we love to take surprise trips with our kids so they don't know where we're going to go. They haven't been prepared. We kind of arrange it, and so we talk to the coaches and everything, make sure that they know they're going to be gone. We did this 2 weeks ago with a trip up to the North Shore for 5 days, and we sat them down 2 days before. We just said, "Hey, by the way, we're going to be gone next week, and we need you to pack 5 days. Here's a couple things you need to prepare and be ready, but just be ready to go." And it almost every time what happens, every single time, they start instantly figuring out, oh, where are we going? What's going to happen? And they have all these guesses, and they're trying to figure it out. And they try to get us to give them some clues so they can narrow it a little bit. I think this is where we're going to go, and I think this is what we're going to do. And, of course, what we do is we try everything we can to throw them way off the trail, give them exaggerated information a little bit. But what I love about it is this, and here's what we've noticed. And the difference between a surprise trip where they don't know exactly where we're going to go and one where they do, when they know where we're going to go, all of a sudden there is sabotage going on, right? So everyone, like we're going to take a trip this summer out to the West Coast and see Seattle and Portland. They know that, and they're already plotting all the different things they want to do. And they don't match. Have you ever had that experience, right, where you have four family members that want to do 8 different things? That's when they know where they're going to go. But when it's a surprise trip, they just kind of go and experience the trip. In fact, to some degree, it's given them the freedom when they trust the authority, and whether they do or not, they're captive, so they just go with us. We just tell them they have to. But in the midst of it, it allows them the freedom to enjoy the experience instead of trying to control where the destination is going to be and what they're going to do. And we had a great 5 days where they just loved it, and they had no idea every day. They just woke up, "Hey, what are we doing today? Where are we going to go?" And we were up in Beaver Bay for a couple days, and we got up and said, "Oh, hey, by the way, pack your stuff. We're leaving. We're trying another thing." And it was just a great freedom in the midst of that, and they had a great week in that. But this is the picture of kind of how God is in Numbers and how he walks with his people. He's with Abraham and with Moses. Just pack up and, "Hey, I'm going to show you where we're going to go. Just to trust my authority and my navigation in your life and experience the freedom of where I lead." But that's not what happens in the story, right? As they're going along, we see over and over how many times they come back and say, whoa, I want to do something different. I want to try something different. Okay, God, you're leading here, but what about this? Or I have a complaint about where you're leading, or the side trip that's happened. I wish it was more like this, or why can't we do this? How many of you have been with family, like extended family, where it's not like you're the authority, there's 7 authorities trying to make decisions, and you like with think of like extended family, sisters, brothers, and you set in the day and you're like, "Hey, let's do this." And they say, "Let's do this." And that say, "Let's do this." And you don't get to do the thing you want to do. Anyone have that experience before? Right? And I don't know if you're like me, but man, is my attitude sour. Right? I'm not going to enjoy whatever we're going to do. I've just kind of set out to do that. And I'm like, okay, I wanted to do this. And why did they get there? I've become like a 4-year-old in the car, right? And why can't we do this? Because I don't have the authority, and I like the authority to move and to do. So think about this. This happens all the time, all the time. In fact, some degree, think about this. Like when you check into a hotel, you're going along the route, right? And you know as the driver, the navigation, this is where we're going to go and this is what we're going to do. But they have one of these in the hotels. You know what these are, right? Right, 80 different options of things and experiences you can experience right in that community. And you're like, well, no, we're here 9 hours, people. 9 hours, then we're on to the next location. And then your kids get a hold of this, and they're like, but they have the biggest cinnamon roll in all of Texas at this place, Dad. And look at a Six Flags. I didn't know they had a Six Flags. And how easy it is to become distracted in where you're headed in the destination, because you all of a sudden look and go, well, why can't we do this? Or I want to do this. Or, and it's so easy to get distracted. And I don't know about you and your life, but if you're anything like me, how many times as God is leading us to the land he's promised, do we get distracted and say, well, no, let's spend a little more time here. How many times do you think you've been in a spot or in a career or a different thing, or you've sat in that spot and you've been so distracted because you think it's the thing that you want to do and God's trying to move you somewhere else? God says, nah, it's time to get up and go. But you're like, no. Here's what I want to do, and I want to climb the ladder, and I want authority and the power to make, and I want a bigger salary, whatever that is. But, man, I want to be here. And think about how many times God say, no, I want you to move. We're calling you to go. But we get distracted. I think back of back to the Sinai, back when they were at Mount Sinai, and I think about how many times a God comes and says a couple things to them. In fact, the first thing he says this, he goes, first of all, I want you to know, and wherever you go, wherever happens, I am with you. I'm with you. And he starts out with these 10 rules, and he says this, I want you to recognize that I am the authority. I'm the navigator here. And so love God above all things, right? You know that commandment comes back into that. And he says, hey, trust me where I'm going. Because when you don't trust the navigator, chaos happens. And think about this. It was supposed to be a 3-week family vacation that turned into a 40-year experience. Now, if you can imagine that, 3 weeks set out for family vacation and it became 40 years in the car, believe me, there is some chaos going on with the navigator, right? Somewhere along the line, something went incredibly wrong. So God says this, I'm going to give you 3 signs that you know of my presence. And he started with this. He said, the first one is this, I'm going to be a cloud by day and a fire by night. You will know I'm with you and I'm guiding you. The beautiful thing throughout the whole wilderness, his presence was by the cloud. The second thing he gave it was the tabernacle. And I love this tabernacle. Think about this. In Exodus, it says this, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst. Right? And I love in Exodus, it says, as the cloud came down, set upon the tabernacle, and the presence of God filled the tabernacle. It's a beautiful picture, right? So they know God is present with them through this journey. And the third thing, in fact, well, here, let's go back one more. Think about this. We have a third campus risen with third campus Liberty Ridge, right? And every week is a tabernacle experience for them. Every week, they come an hour and a half to 2 hours early. They set up they take a school and they bring all this stuff. They have 2 truckloads that come in where they take all this stuff down, have an amazing team that comes in, and they set up the tabernacle, so to speak, every week, transforming a school into a place where it's welcoming the presence of God as people come in to worship. It's absolutely amazing to watch. And then after everyone's gone, this whole team comes back in 45 minutes, tears it all down, puts it back in the truck, and stores it for the week just to do it again the next week. We are so, so privileged that we just walk in and it's all set up every week, right? But they get a taste of what it must have been like for the Israelites every time God moved in the midst of that. And so the third thing he gave them was this Ark of the Covenant. And this was a special place, right? The Ark of the Covenant was filled with the 2 stone tablets of God's commands. Is rumored with Aaron's rod and even some manna in that. And it was some significant moments where God's presence was really revealed in a powerful way. And so the Ark of the they believed this, that it was the place where God spoke to Moses in between the 2 cherubims. And so it was God's presence. And I love this in verse 33. It says this, they marched for 3 days after leaving the mountain of the Lord with the Ark of the Lord's covenant moving ahead of them to show them where to stop and rest. So here's the thing about the Ark of the Covenant that's so powerful. They believed that God's presence was represented there. In fact, it's so powerful and so mighty, they veiled it so that people can see it. And so as they're going, as they're marching out, Moses says, all right, take the Ark of the Covenant. It's going to go first. It's going to go ahead of everyone because we want to make sure God's presence is in front of us. And then look at verse 35. It says this, and whenever the ark set out, Moses would shout, arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered. Let them flee before you. I mean, think about what he's doing here. It's so powerful that God's presence is in front of their lives, in front of their journey, and saying this. We know that his power and authority is so powerful that the enemies, just by seeing and knowing his presence, will just flee from him. It's bigger than the actual ark. It's his presence ahead of them. And it got me to start to think a little bit, what would it look like in our lives if we woke up every morning with that kind of thought? Arise, O Lord, and go before me today. May you be the Ark of the Covenant before whatever I do. May I get behind you in your presence wherever I go, because I know your enemies will flee from your very presence. And Lord, would you help me to stay behind you? Not to go off on the side trips and experiences that I think or that I want, but I want to be behind you because I know your power and authority before my day. Do you think our days would be different if that was our thought? God, I'm setting behind you and your power and your authority in our lives. Now, we all know this, that when we are setting out to travel, right, there is a lot of planning that goes in that before we're ready, right? A lot of planning, even in our days, lots of planning that goes into that. For us, in particular, in our household, the day of, there is a final checklist, a routine. Anyone else have that? Like, you have a constant routine before you go, and there's certain things you do. So in our house, one of the things, and I love this about my wife, she wants to come back to a clean house. Anyone else like that? Love to come back into the clean house, right? So you do a thorough cleaning before you leave. And so the dishes are washed and the toys are picked up. And so we come back and you're like, wow, this is a beautiful new house, right? When you come back, that's just really her. And then we have our other things, right? We take the temperature, we bring it down, we make sure the notes are out and everyone's called and everyone, temp comes down, whether it's hot or cold, depending on the season. And one of the last things we do is always pack the cooler, right? Cooler, food last. And it's the last thing that goes in. But there's one thing that we do in the Broughton household that is the signal that it's time to move. Anyone know what it is? It's a bathroom call, right? No matter where the kids are, we say, all right, everybody, come in and go to the bathroom because we're not stopping until the tank is empty. Okay, well, which car are we taking? The one with the 18-gallon tank or the 12? Right. And our kids know, they don't even question it anymore. They know this is the time to go. It's the signal. In fact, it's the Broughton trumpet call before we go, right? And I love this. When we talk about God and his story, there is a trumpet. Every time the trumpet sound, it was a signal to say, hey, pay attention and get ready because God's moving. And we better be paying attention to wherever God is going in the midst of this. So think about this. In this trumpet call, a trumpet was blown. Now, there are a couple different signals of the trumpet. If one trumpet was blared, it was a signal for all the leaders to gather the tabernacle and to listen to instructions. Something was going to happen. If two were blared, it was the signal to the community that God is going to do something. Everybody better be alert. But before they were set out, the trumpet would blare, and it was a sign that says, okay, God's presence moves. Tabernacle or the Ark of the Covenant's there. It's time to move. It's telling everyone, let's be on the same page. And I love this. Throughout God's story, the trumpet has such a powerful image that something's going to happen, that God's about to move in some way. Get ready and be prepared. I love with Easter, think about this, right? In our church, in three different campuses, one of the things we do on Easter is we bring the brass, right? We bring the trumpets in. And there's nothing like the first song that we do before any music is sung, the trumpets shout and declare the glory of the Lord. And it's a signal to say, we are celebrating. This is not a day like any other day. God's moving. You think about that, right? Christ is risen today. Powerful thing. That image, you can see that voice in there. It goes all the way back to God's story, because when the trumpet blares, God is moving. So think about this, Matthew 24, I love this, right? And he will send out his angels with the mighty blast of a trumpet, and they will gather his chosen ones from all over the world, from the farthest ends of the earth to heaven. I love that. He said, okay, everybody, pay attention, trumpet blast, gather, because something's going to happen. I'm using the trumpets to gather everybody. And think about this, on our destination, God is calling us to the land that he has promised. Like we said, this, every one of us is in a wilderness experience right now. And we may think this is home, but this is not home. This is where he's calling us. You are in the wilderness, headed towards where he's calling you to do. And there's going to be a day he's going to gather all people. I love this in Paul. Paul says this in Corinthians. Comes back in these words, says this, but let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in the moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we who are living will all be transformed. I mean, get a picture of what that's going to be like. We don't know when that's going to happen. At some point, it's going to happen in the blink of the eye. It could happen today. It could happen before we end worship here today. And maybe it's not in our lifetime. You think about the people that you love that have gone before you. I love this. When that trumpet sounds, they will hear that trumpet sound. And it will be a signal, hey, God is moving in a different way, just kind of like Easter, right? He's moving in a different way, and he's going to gather those who've fallen asleep along with those who are still living. We'll hear that trumpet blast, and it's a sign that says, hey, we are about to worship. We're going to see resurrection take place. We're going to see glory take place. We're going to see transformation in your lives take place, where we become glorified the way we were created to live. It's the sign. The trumpet blares next. I'll tell you what, you're at the edge of the promised land, and it's time to cross. The trumpet declares the glory of the Lord, that he's moving and something's coming. Throughout his whole story. He even says this, I love this, this is the words of Moses, right? Arise, O Lord, go before us, that our enemies would flee from you. In Revelations, there's another signal that comes in verses 8, or chapters 8 and 9. It says this, that the seven trumpets of the angels are going to blare, and it's a signal to say that all the enemies of God are under assault, and they will face the wrath and the judgment of God. Think about that imagery when those seven trumpets blare. I'm so thankful for God's promise for all who believe that the trumpet we hear calls us into the promised land, and not the trumpets that the enemies will hear. God calls into action. It's a beautiful thing in the midst of that. And so it kind of calls you this, where is your focus and destination in this life? Where are you headed towards? Are you easily distracted by the things of this earth? Or do you wake up and say, okay, God, lead me one step closer to where you're going to be. God, I am one step closer, one day closer to your presence in heaven and what is before me. I mean, think about the joy that we can live each and every day with that kind of thing on our hearts. And so I started to think about this. How do we know, what are the things in our life where we know the presence of God is before us? And I'll tell you this, there's kind of a cool thing. Do you think about this, like the Ark of the Covenant? How cool would that be every day before you go to work, that two people would be carrying that in front of you, right? And you're going into your work, you know, like the Ark of the Covenant, God's presence going before me, or wherever that is, how cool that would be. And I started to think about, actually, we've got that. It's called God's Word. I mean, really, it is the Ark of the Covenant before us. It's the prayer of talking with him time and time again. It is God's voice. It was the Ark that spoke to Moses. It is God's Word that speaks to us. And what if we woke up every day in God's Word saying, okay, God, you are before us. Speak to me. Talk to me. And so that all the enemies of yours will flee from me. What would it look like if every day we just hung on the power of his presence and his speaking in this book. It would transform our days. I love this. Our mission trips this last Thursday, a bunch of our people that we love are in Jamaica, and some of us are at Urban Plunge in Minneapolis. And on Thursday morning, the group got together at the airport at 3:30 in the morning and got together. There was another for Urban Plunge that got together at 5 o'clock. And I love this, right? They became the tabernacle. They packed the tabernacle into the plane, and they packed the tabernacle into the cars. And I love this. Dean said this so beautifully last time, right? The tabernacle is in us. The power of God, the Spirit living in us. And they packed it up, and they brought the tabernacle, and they set it up in the Phillips neighborhood, and they've packed it in there right now. It's in the presence of Jamaica, and saying, God, would you lead us? May the power of the Holy Spirit in us bring people to Jesus, that they might hear of your power. What would that look like in your life if every day you're like, wow, the tabernacle is in me. The power and the presence of God is in me. And I'm going to bring the power of God into my workplace, into my neighborhood, into my grocery store. You see, we don't leave the tabernacle behind here. You are the tabernacle. And God's presence dwells within you every day. What if we lived in Colossians 3, verse 1? Since you've been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits at the place of honor at God's right hand. It is a daily reminder that God, you, through the power of the cross and the glory of the resurrection, your victory over sin, death, and devil, my destination is with you forever. And God, set my sights and my heart on you and where you're leading and where you're going, that I would follow your presence and my enemies would flee. And it's not one of those that just think about heaven so we don't think about earth at all. It's not about that. In fact, Colossians 3:2 says this: do not concentrate on the things of the earth and the things that are here. Those are distractions, side trips, but set your mind on heaven and the things of heaven. But it is in that knowledge, in your identity, that we understand and realize that God is calling us to bring others into the reality of the destination he's leading us. I'm the way, the truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. And so he's calling you in this world for his presence to be in front of you and to call other people into a relationship with Jesus Christ so that they would know the power of the Spirit living in them, which will show them the destination. Where is your destination? Here's my prayer for each and every one of us: that every day we are one step closer to where God is calling us. We are one step closer, one day closer to hearing the trumpet blast among all trumpet blasts that will signal his time has come and the land is open. And my prayer is this, that we just have this incredible urgency, not just to follow and trust the navigator, but to love people the way God has called us to love people. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, you are good and you are gracious and you are loving and you promise us your presence every day of our life. Lord, we don't have to wonder where you are. We don't have to question your presence. You said you are present with us. You have filled us with your Holy Spirit. That God, you live and breathe in and through us. And so, God, we're praying that now you would, through us, bring your presence into the lives of your children. God, we know there are a lot of people in this world that have become so distracted by side amusements and attractions, and they've forgotten the destination. And so, God, we pray in a very powerful and real way you would bring us together. And like our mission trips right now, that you would bring us and bring the temple, the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, your presence into their midst, that they would see the power and the glory. God, we pray on that day when the trumpet blares, when it sounds, when it blasts, that Lord, we know that every knee in heaven on earth will bow before you and worship will break out like worship has never broken out before. And so keep our eyes not just focused in on that in that moment, but God, keep our eyes focused in the fact that you are calling more people to be a part of that. May our hearts break with an urgency that others would know the love of Jesus. We ask this in your holy name. Amen.